Comfort My People, Commentary for the February 20th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Isaiah 40, verses 23 through 24. Approximately 2.5 millennia ago, events unfolded in the Middle East that continue to resonate today. The city-state of Jerusalem was in an uneasy relationship with the more powerful city-state of Babylon, ruled by King Nebuchadnezzar. To assure Jerusalem's faithfulness to Babylon's rule, several young men from the royal household were taken as hostages to Babylon. They were well treated, and those who were more capable were educated in the Babylonian language, laws, and customs of the nation that was now their new home. Among these were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not long in distinguishing themselves and receiving royal favor. One night, Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream, but as sometimes happens even to us today, he could not remember the dream after he woke up. He only remembered it was concerning. He called for his astrologers to help him recall the dream and explain it, but they could not. Frustrated, he felt they had been misleading him and ordered their death. But Daniel came forward and offered to seek an answer for the king from God if he would hold off on the executions. The king agreed, and Daniel went to join his three friends in prayer for an answer. Whether the king expected Daniel to succeed or not, the young man did return with a dream and its interpretation. The dream was of a statue with layers of different metals, a head of gold, and on down through the body was silver, bronze, and iron. Daniel revealed that these were kingdoms to come on the earth. Babylon was a head of gold, and three other lesser kingdoms would follow until the iron of the feet mixed with clay could not hold together and would be overcome by the kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that this was indeed his dream and rewarded Daniel for the interpretation. But later, Nebuchadnezzar, as is typical of narcissistic world rulers, decided he could not accept the idea of Babylon falling to other less glorious kingdoms that would succeed his. He decided to construct an image in real life that would deny the possibility of that ever happening. After it was constructed and set up on the plain of Dura outside the city, Nebuchadnezzar not only presented this contrary vision for Babylon's future, but he also summoned everyone of importance in the realm to attend the dedication and to bow down in acceptance of this royal vision as loyal subjects. But when he looked out across the plain at the thousands bowed before the image, three individuals remained standing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nearby friends may have tried to encourage them to bow down to this image of solid gold, but they would not. The king summoned them to his presence. These three were familiar with the real image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation, for they had joined with Daniel in prayer for it to be revealed. They likely recognized the greater implications of the statue of gold. Not only did it deny that other kingdoms would replace Babylon, but it also denied that the kingdom of God would rule over all. After God had favored them with the answer to the king's dream, they could not now betray God. Even though the king threatened them with a horrible flaming death in a brick kiln, they would not give in. While they believed God could save them from that fate, even if he did not, they would remain faithful. Furious, Nebuchadnezzar had them tossed into the kiln. But to his astonishment, they were unharmed. Calling them forth from the kiln, he could not even smell smoke on their clothing. Forced to recognize the power of God, the king issued an edict for all people to honor and respect the God of these three young Hebrews. These stories can be found in the first three chapters of the book of Daniel, along with several other details not mentioned here. I have always found it an exciting account of faithfulness and God's love, not only for the three faithful Hebrews, but also for the foreign king, as he patiently led him to a greater understanding of who ruled from heaven and overruled the plans of men for divine purposes. Sadly, we too often lose sight of the lessons of Daniel, letting it fade into the past, overcome by the anxieties of the present. Narcissistic leaders are no less common today. They look to assert their will without regard to what moral issues may be at play. If they do not win their will, they will use any means at their disposal to overcome opposition. While brick kilns may not be as common as they were in Nebuchadnezzar's day, other more surreptitious means are readily resorted to, such as poisons, assassinations, armed unofficial militias blindly loyal to the ruler, and rubber stamp legislative assemblies that allow a leader with a bent toward tyranny to impose their will. We expect these things from countries that already have well-established dictatorships. But as the transition from the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire revealed shortly before the birth of Christ, democratic republics are not immune to tyranny. The corruption of the Roman senators, willing to make bargains with the devil and betray one another for nothing more than a chance to gain power, made it possible for the Roman Caesars to gain power and hold on to it by manipulating those opposing factions. We see the same things playing out today in the United States as senators and congressmen willingly betray moral principles for political advantage. A narcissistic Pied Piper can then cruise into power by playing the tune they want to hear with stanzas about the power they will all gain if they only follow the piper. Ironically, it was the sound of pipes that played when all were commanded to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. But some, now as then, are not beguiled by the sound of the pipes calling them to simply fall in line behind the one who is making promises of prosperity. They know history and realize that the kingdoms of man come and go just as Nebuchadnezzar's dream revealed. As the dream also revealed, the only kingdom that would endure would be the kingdom of God. Too many today live lives of fear and anxiety. They've lost touch with God and the security that a relationship with God provides. They may have a sense of right and wrong, but it is based on what man is able to do, either legislatively or coercively. I have little doubt that Nebuchadnezzar thought that what he was doing was best for the Babylonian Empire. Many today feel the same about their nation. But any movement that relies on laws to change hearts instead of recognition of the need for a relationship with God is doomed to ultimately fail, as did the king's plans for his statue on the plains of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar eventually, through several trials, came to recognize that it is God who rules over the affairs of men, and any feeling that we are in ultimate control is illusory. Pretty much every narcissistic ruler who managed to come to power found out that ultimately they controlled little. They may succeed through force of arms to temporarily bend bodies to their will, but they cannot subdue a single heart knit with God. This is the secret of the comfort Isaiah speaks of. God is eternal and cannot be destroyed, and in that lies our assurance of a future that transcends the devices of evil. In that relationship is the power to stand faithful, as those three Hebrews did long ago. A heart shaped by God replaces a lust for power and can replace a fear that power already gained might be lost with a heart of humble service. When that transition takes place, we will be aligned with all the power we need, God's power. That power is not used to destroy, but to sustain life and hope. It does not create cringing fear in those that encounter it, but comfort and peace. Whether senator, congressman, president, or judge, that peace is available to all. It may be hard to turn these things over to God, but in thousands of years, anything else has only provided apparent solutions that turned out to be temporary at best. If we are truly to find comfort, like Peter on the troubled Sea of Galilee, we need to take our eyes off the raging waters and focus only on the hand Jesus is stretching out in our direction. That is where the comfort is. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find this commentary and others like it at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God's blessings be upon you and your family.